This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
Welcome back to the Star-Studded Office Hours. We're here in Las Vegas in one of Las Vegas's hometown heroes. I hate using this word because usually it means you're getting a little bit older, and some people call me a legendary sports executive and I cringe. When did I get old enough to be a legend? Let alone the older you get, the better you get. But this guy certainly gets better with age. The incredible Wolfgang Puck. Welcome to Office Hours.
Thank you. I will call you a young legend.
Thank you so much. To be in any class of yours is legendary for me. And I can't believe how many different projects you have. And the latest and greatest is coming out here in Las Vegas at the Mandalay. What are you looking for with all of your experience and success? What do you look for in a new restaurant? What hasn't been done? What is your primary focus?
Well, the primary focus of my life really is, which is a large part of our restaurants, is how do we gonna get better? How we continue to improve? How we improve the experience and how we can improve how the guests feel. So that's really how it all started. Here at Spago in Beverly Hills, we just spent $2.7 million on redoing the restaurant, making the bar better and making the outside nicer, the inside a beautiful wine room. Do I have to do it? No. But I want to stay in business, and I think continuous improvement is an important part. Continuous innovation is an important part of our business, you know. If not, you fall behind, and then it's impossible to catch up, you know. You have to be on the bicycle and pedal all the way up the hill all the time, because if not, you fall backwards and you can't catch up.
Mary, you're someone who enjoys the consistent everyday, persistent without quit, pursuit of your potential. And the outcome's exponential, just like Wolfgang Puck.
Yes. Thank you so much. Hi, I'm Mary, the owner of The Bakery Co-Work, which is the largest female-focused co-working space. And currently, I have 43 employees, and it may be a little to you, but it's a lot to me. And in this climate, people have a hard time finding and keeping employees. Can you give us some tips on how you've been able to scale your businesses and keep employees happy and for a long time?
You know, I really feel like we have a family business, and people are with us for so many years. You know, it's really amazing. We have busboys at Chinois who are with us for 30 years. They're still busboys, but their kids went to college. And one guy he's a busboy there. His son is a lawyer. So I think this is so amazing. So they feel part of a big family. And I think that's how we treat our people. We don't treat them as employees. I don't treat them, I'm the boss and they work for me. I treat them like we are all part of a bigger family, which is the human race. And you know what? Everybody is important. When I come into the restaurant, the first thing I say hello is to the dishwasher and say, thank you for being here. You know, without you, we cannot open the restaurant. So I think make everybody feel important, but also hold them responsible for what they do. For sure, you know, you want people to do a good job. Teach them the right way. People want to improve. People want to learn. So I think for me, that was always a priority is I thought, if I don't treat the people well, how are they going to treat their customers well? So you want to be treated really well. So I think that's really an important part. And I said, I don't want to be mistreated. They don't want to be mistreated. So in the old time in the restaurant business, people yelled and threw things and things like that, you know, like when I grew up. But that's gone now. Now I think people, instead of being...
Negative.
The guy Elliot called me from London, so I said, you know,
the dishwasher.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that was in London.
So good.
So, but I think to me that's really continued growth. Get interest in the people. Make them feel like they're gonna learn. And like when I'm in the kitchen and I see something not right. I don't gonna yell at them and say, oh, you screwed up again or whatever. I said, this, I show them how I want it done. And that really makes a big difference, you know, and I show them in a positive way. Naturally, I will get upset if after three times they still do it wrong because they don't care. And there are, unfortunately, people like that who don't really care. But we try to weed them out and try to keep the people who are passionate about our industry.
Alec, I know you take on, as I visited you in Orange County at your company, it was like a family. And it made me feel really great to be there. And you could feel a different energy from treating people like family.
Thank you. It's an honor to talk to you. You are literally a case study in how to build an incredible brand. You're synonymous with excellence. And I'm just curious, as your personal brand and business brand has developed over time, what's your hope for the future of it? Where does it go? What's the legacy?
Well, I'm so lucky. I have my son, Byron, who is working with me. You know, he's 29 years old. He's very passionate about food. Like, he went to high school here in LA. He started a food program, a chemistry food program, you know, about molecular gastronomy, which all the young kids love. And then he went to only to one college he wanted to go was Cornell, which is, they have the hospitality management program there, which is one of the best ones. And then he worked in some great restaurants in Europe, from the Roca brothers in Barcelona and Girona, to Steyr-Eich in Vienna, to Beaumanier, where I used to work 50 years ago, to Guy Savoy, and to some places like Alinea and Le Bernardin here in the U.S. So I think he is really ready. But what I really love about him is he is amazing with the guests, and he's amazing with the employees. He can talk to them, teach them, and he is really a guy also who continuously wants to get better. So I think the company will be in good hands if in the next 50 years or sometimes like that, I retire.
If. Wow. Wolfgang, you know, what's shaking? What's shaking?
What's bacon, not shaking.
I like
what's
steaking.
Hey, there it is.
I'll eat anything you steak.
Rich Jordan, it's a pleasure to meet you. Absolute pleasure. I look back to the early points in your career, if you want to call it that, when you moved over to the States. And I'm wondering about, because I know everybody has these, right? I'm wondering when that moment hit you to where you're like, you know what? This is stupid. I'm just going to give up. Was it your first restaurant? Was it your 10th restaurant? And how did you push through that?
You know, I am lucky in a way, or not lucky in some other ways. My life started was really very difficult. I had a stepfather who was a terrorist, really, at home. So, but my mother was an angel and she was a chef too. So it was a balance. But my stepfather always told me I was good for nothing. And I'm good for nothing. And nothing ever gonna get up, come out of me or whatever, you know? So it was not a thing, a very uplifting or a very positive thing. So each time he came home from work, I was dreading it. And I said, oh my God, now here he is again. So that's really very difficult to live like that, you know, having a stepfather like that. But I left when I was 14 and he told me, oh, you're good for nothing. You're gonna be home, back home and ask me for money and stuff like that. So I started to work in Villach in this hotel called the Post Hotel, and we ran out of potatoes one Sunday, and no more mashed potatoes, no more potatoes, no more this and that. And, you know, I was there for 2 months, maybe 6 weeks. And then the chef at the end of the lunch, he called me over and said, okay, you better go back home. And I said, well, I don't want to go back home. So that night, I stood on the bridge on the river. I said, you know, before I go home, I'm going to kill myself. I'm not going back home, and prove my stepfather right, because he said I'm good for nothing. I would be back home. So I stood there probably for an hour and thinking and thinking what life is at the end, you know, and will I go to heaven or to hell or whatever. But then all of a sudden, a light bulb went up and I said, I'm just going to go back tomorrow morning and see what happens. So I arrived early in the morning, and the apprentice who was ahead of me saw me back, and he was so excited because he didn't have to peel onions or potatoes or whatever. And so he hid me in the vegetable cellar, and for 3 weeks or so, I was peeling potatoes and onions and carrots and so forth. And then the chef came down in the cellar and sees me there and starts screaming and grabbing me and says, okay, get the fuck out of here. You know, I fired you. And he was like a total crazy guy. And I was holding on to the bags of potatoes and said, I'm not leaving. I screamed as loud as he did. He didn't know what to do. His face was red and everything. Yes. And then he called the owner of the hotel. I said, what should I do with this little piece of shit here? I fired him. He's too little. He's good for nothing. And then I said, I'm not leaving. And the owner had a little bit more empathy, maybe. So he said, okay, let's send him to our other hotel. They had another small hotel there. And I started to work there, and then they had a woman chef, and she was nice, and she said, just be quiet and do your job, and everything will be fine. So that was really the beginning of my life, was really hard. And then I moved to France when I was 17, and then I found my mentor at Beaumanière. Beaumanière is a fantastic restaurant in Provence, in South of France, near Avignon and Arles, there in that corner of the world. And there, Raymond Tullier, who was the owner and chef at the restaurant here at that time, was he like in his 70s, but he was so passionate. And I remember him in the kitchen, you know, he was still yelling and screaming and everything. But I said, he had a farm, he had all these amazing vegetables coming, and farmer raised lamb for the restaurant and so forth. Marseille was very close, we got really good fish. And he was also in the hospitality business, not just the kitchen. He used to bring in the kitchen, I remember, Picasso, he used to bring in the kitchen, Elizabeth Taylor. And the food we made there, obviously it's a 3-star restaurant, so it was so amazing. I said, I wanna be like him. And so from that day on, you know, I started really, really focusing on my work. And I must say, after a year or so, I worked with him on the salt station, and each time he went away on vacation or whatever, he said, Wolfgang has to do the sauces. He's the best one. And yet we had 20 young French chefs in the kitchen too, but he really took an interest in me and I felt really good. So that was really the beginning for me of my career. Before that, I might have become a truck driver or something like that to make more money. Than
I can't imagine you as a truck driver.
I can't either. Although the road food would be really good. I will tell you, though, no one's yelling at you to leave anymore. They're begging you to stay and inviting you all over the world to stay. And we always are begging you to stay and begging you to come and visit us again soon. Congratulations on yet another new restaurant. Come and check it out at the Mandalay Bay, I am sure.
It's not quite open yet. We open in January, end of January. So, but what is exciting about it is to do something new. At the beginning, I told the manager there, the president of the hotel, I said, you know, why should we change? Lupo is very successful and we are doing very well. Financially, it's okay too. And then he said, well, it would be nice, something new. And then I said, you know what? This is exciting. Let's do something new. So that way it challenges us. It challenges everybody to get going and do something new. So we're going to have a totally new design, new bar. We have a salumi room where you can get great prosciutto or Iberico ham or things like that, or appetizers, sit at the bar, eat little things, and then we're going to have some amazing Italian dishes. So I'm really very excited about this new project and a whole new design, a whole new thing for us. So to me, doing something new, making things better, I think it's always exciting.
Very exciting. We'll have our next VIP dinner there.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Absolutely. Maybe he'll
invite you out, please.
Exactly. Wolfgang will come join us.
Your own restaurant.
When we do the test dinner, so you are the first one to taste it.
Oh, we would love it. We beg of it, and we beg you to stay. The incredible young legend, an amazing icon of culinary excellence, the extraordinary Wolfgang Puck. Thanks for joining us on Office Hours.